For the last 2 months, we have been dwelling in the Gospel of John. He's taken us through the selected events of Jesus' life. He has taken us through the events of the Last Supper. And at the Last Supper, he showed us and reminded us that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He did that as an example, saying, "What I have done to you, you are to do to one another." And just to make sure they got it, "I did not come to be served, but to serve, as are you." A little later in the evening, he gave them a new commandment: "Love one another as I have loved you. By this you will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another." Words we just heard in the gospel. Two images from that Last Supper: washing feet as an example of serving one another, and then loving one another as a new commandment. The next day from the cross, Jesus looks down on the beloved disciple and on his mother. "Woman, here is your son." And to the beloved disciple, "Here is your mother." And at that point, the beloved disciple took Mary into his home, and they became a new family. In the upper room, 3 days later, on the night of the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit and forgive the sins of any." And then a week later, on the shores of the Sea of Tiberias, Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Tend my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." And his last words to the disciples, "Follow me." In many ways, that's John's image of who Jesus is for him, the image he wants to leave of Jesus for you and me. And if we learn nothing else from John's account of his relationship with Jesus and how he shares it with us, it is this: Jesus came to build community. And not only build community, but he calls us to follow. Follow him. And in every generation following, to build communities that reflect his very person. And the marks of these communities: loving one another, being in relationship with one another, opening ourselves up to being in relationship with people who are different, people with whom we have issues, being in relationship. Another mark is serving one another, not only being in relationship, but serving, shifting our focus from the self, from ourself, to others around us, being open to their needs, their concerns, their pain, their sorrow. Moving from focus inward to outward, from focusing on receiving to giving. A shift of focus from focusing within to focusing without. And when you do that, you begin to care for one another, taking the abandoned and those in need and welcoming them in into the family. Welcome the marginalized and the lost, the heartbroken, the weary, the sick. And at some point in our life, each of us becomes one of those people to be welcomed and embraced by a true community, a community marked by caring. And as such, the mark of a community is forgiveness, which goes hand in hand with having relationship. When relationships are strained, relationships are broken, forgiveness restores those relationships. And through reconciliation, creation is restored. And finally, it is the duty of communities and those within the community to tend and feed God's sheep. And who are God's sheep? Well, that's for us to figure out. And the question for us is, how big is God's fold? For John and for us and for Jesus, it's all about community. And we call that community the church, meaning a gathering of people. It's not a building, it's a church. It's a gathering of people, a living, breathing community. Wherever people gather, there is the church. A church is not a building, but it's a gathering of people. And we call that kind of church the body of Christ, a group of people who by faith choose to follow Jesus, to walk in his footsteps, to model our lives after his, individually and corporately, to live in God's image. Who we are and how we live our lives proclaim who God is, who Jesus is to the world. We are, in Paul's words, ambassadors for Christ. What we do matters. And I think that is what John would want us to know. That is how John would challenge us to live. Now, all too often we hear these words in a more sentimental vein, a nice message to warm our hearts and fill our minds with good thoughts. But the reality is, this is not a sentimental message. This is a call, this is a challenge given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. To give our lives to bear witness to God's presence in the world, to embrace God's plan to restore the world to its created vision, and to join God's mission by following in Jesus' footsteps. And responding to this challenge takes dedication and faith and courage. This past weekend, over 120 Episcopalians from 19 of 21 churches in the Northeast region of Connecticut came together over the course of 2 days to embrace this challenge and to share what God is doing in each of those 19 parishes and to envision what God might do in this part of Connecticut. This gathering reminded us and those who were present that we at St. Peter's are part of a larger whole, that we share a common mission with other communities in our region, that this morning as we worship, we are worshiping like all other 21 churches in the northeast part of Connecticut, that as we serve and we offer our own mission here at St. Peter's, it's not unlike the mission of these other 21 churches, reminds us that we are one. And not only one with just the churches of the Northeast, but the other six or the other five regions within Connecticut, reminding us we are not on this journey alone, and that we can be greater as a whole than we are individually. But this past weekend also was a time of sharing. As I walked in on Saturday morning, I saw one whole wall of the room that we were having our convocation in that was covered with post-its reflecting what is being done in our parishes in northeast part of the Episcopal Church of Connecticut. And along with, I'm going to guess here, about 30 from St. Peter's, were tens and tens and tens and tens more. Probably well over 200 post-its were on the wall. All things that parishes in this area are doing as part of the mission of God. It was also a time of sharing a meal and worshiping around a common table. At the Friday night dinner, it was set up and prepared by any attendees who chose to come an hour early. And when the meal was set in the context of the Eucharist. People sharing a meal and receiving communion together as one body, a diverse body, but as one. It was a time for inspiration. Our bishops shared their views for God's mission in the world and echoed the disciple John's call to follow Jesus. It was a time for visioning. And much of Saturday was spent imagining what the future might hold for the Episcopal Church in Connecticut and in specific in the Northeast region. We imagined ourselves as a single body rather than a collection of independent parishes. We imagined opportunities to join together and work together to achieve what we couldn't achieve on our own. We imagined how we might select a person known as a missionary who might help us to build a sense of community among the Episcopal churches in Northeast Connecticut. And we imagine what characteristics that person might embody. We imagined how a missionary might get to know all 21 parishes in our region, build collaboration among us, develop communication and conversation among our parishes, and help us to expand our vision of mission in this region of the state. We chose a group of 6 individuals to refine the position description for that missionary and to work with the Episcopal Church of Connecticut staff to fill that position by the end of the year. And we chose one clergy person and one lay person from our region to represent us on the ECCT Missionary Council. And finally, we chose a group of people to plan future events to bring the Northeast Episcopal Churches of Connecticut together as a region to celebrate our common life as we move into the future. And it was a time for fellowship, for making new friends and celebrating with old friends, for laughing and being excited together, sharing, dreaming, worshiping, and celebrating our common life as Episcopalians in the state of and the Diocese of Connecticut. And in doing all of this, it was an historic event. Nothing of this kind had ever been achieved in the Diocese of Connecticut in its long history. This was an historic moment. And Bishop Ian wanted us to know that the convocation of the Northeast region of the Episcopal Church in Connecticut had begun a process which will move this diocese into the future. It was a time of sheer excitement and feeling the presence of God's Spirit alive as we witnessed the birth, I think, of a new era of the Episcopal Church in Connecticut. In our gospel this morning, Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." By God's grace, I think that was fulfilled in part over this convocation over the last 2 days. And by God's grace, may we continue to be known as faithful disciples of Jesus as we live into the future, not only the future of the Episcopal Church in Connecticut, but into the future, to carry the message of God's love into the world in a way that is healing and reconciling and restoring. May we be faithful to that mission, and may we, as the Episcopal Church in Connecticut, become part of that mission as God seeks to fulfill God's mission of restoration and reconciliation in the world. May God be with us, may God inspire us, and may God bless us. Amen.